Good evening, and I greet you all in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Who controls your life? Do you do what you want? Do you dictate what your ambitions are? Do you decide on your own what you want to do today, tomorrow, and the next day, and for the rest of your life? There is a reason why the Lord Jesus Christ introduced himself to us as the head of the body, the church. When we were unbelievers, who controls us? The Bible says that we were born in sin. Sin was our master. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life course through our entire being. And so these strong desires dictated what we should and should not do in relation to the material world that we lived in. But after salvation, there is a change, and we need to understand what it means to have been changed by the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the Lord tells us that I am the head of the body, the church. This body does not refer to the local church. It is a reference to the invisible church. This body is made up of only truly born-again believer. Likewise, the church that is used here in verse 18 is not a reference to the local church. It is a reference to the invisible church, a church that is made up of only believers, like the body. It is only for the believers. Because the believers are the only ones who would acknowledge that Jesus Christ is my head. If you're an unbeliever, you will not be bothered. You will not care. You will do your own thing. You will live your own life the way that you see fit, and you will do whatever you want, and you will go wherever you want. Or you may call yourself a Christian all you want, but if Jesus Christ is not your head, then you are not a believer. This is as plain as the Bible has revealed our salvation in relation to Christ to us. And we need this clarity because we are living in the last days. There are more people who call themselves Christians than throughout church history. There are billions all over the world who call themselves Christians. You have the charismatics. You have the Roman Catholics. They are the largest number in the whole world who call themselves Christians. And you look at their brand and their version of Christianity. Could they be part of the body of Christ? Could they be part of this invisible church? This invisible church and the body of Christ begins with the first believer. If Adam was the first believer, then Adam would be the first to join this body of Christ and this invisible church. It is not from the New Testament onwards, as some believe. Because of their error, they think that Old Testament believers do not believe in Christ to be saved, and therefore they are not part of the body, and therefore Christ is not their head. There is a big problem to this, because in the new heaven and new earth, Christ will be the head of the church. And if you are saying that the Old Testament believers are not part of the church, then who are they part of? Can Christ control them? Will they do what Jesus tells them to do? Old Testament saints from the time of Adam, they look forward to what Christ will do on the cross. We look back to what Christ has done for us on the cross. And therefore, everyone who is truly born again from the time of Adam to the last believer before the second coming of Christ, they all belong to the body of Christ and this invisible church. And therefore, Christ is the head. And so the Bible made it clear from verse 12 to verse 14 how to become part of this church. It is not an option that you become a Christian and I don't want to be part of this body or this invisible church. It's not a choice. It is a reality. The moment verse 14 is your experience. You belong to this invisible church, this body of Christ, and Christ will be your head. Jesus is revealing to us something that every truly born-again believer experiences. He's now just simply explaining it to us so that you can be conscious of this experience and describe it and understand it better for what it really is. He controls your life because that's exactly what the head is. And he used this body that we have, the physical body, to help us understand this concept. Because every part of our body is controlled by the head. Your finger wants to move, the head says so. The moment the head does not say so, your fingers can't move on its own. Our entire being is controlled by the head. And that's why the Lord says, if you are truly born again in Christ, in verses 12 to 14, they are your experience. Then I am your head, Jesus says. So what does verse 12 to verse 14 says? Give thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. So salvation is made by God. God saved us. Every tiny aspect of our salvation, the entire garment of our salvation in Christ, the garment of righteousness, every stitch came from God. You and I did not contribute. Who had delivered us from the power of darkness, that was what we were in when we were bound by sin. We lived in darkness. We thought our eyes were open when we loved the world, when we were consumed by the desires for the world, when we were controlled by the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes that dictated what we should and should not do in life. Our ambitions are all based upon the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes, and we thought that we were living a successful life. We thought it was life in its fullness and richness when we were full of riches and we were surrounded by a lot of luxury goods. That was darkness, God said. And so now that you have been delivered from the power of darkness that once upon a time controlled us, once upon a time gripped us, once upon a time compelled us and motivated us, God says that is a thing of the past because He had translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. That's what happened when you become a Christian. When you and I were in sin, God said we were in darkness, which we were not aware of because we were also blind. Because a person in darkness is like a blind person who could not see the light. He is in absolute total darkness because he has lost his sight. And that is a very accurate description of what we were like before salvation. But God made us, God transformed us when God sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross for you. And by His grace and mercies, you by faith believe with all your heart and you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sin. You surrender your entire life to Him because Jesus Christ died in your place. 2,000 years ago, you identify yourself with Christ right here and now, even though Christ died for you 2,000 years ago. By faith, you died with Christ. You were crucified with Christ. You have already been punished for the sins that you have committed against God in Christ. Christ took your place when you believed that He is your Lord and your Savior. You died with Him. The sinful nature that once upon gripped you, once upon a time plunged you into this darkness, is now destroyed forever. That's why you have been translated into the kingdom of His dear Son. You are now able to see and understand what this world is all about. That you are no longer in spiritual blindness. You can see because you have been delivered from bondage. Your eyes have been opened. That's what it means to be born again, to become part of God's body and the invisible church. One and the same. God made you. God brought you into His kingdom, which is called the body and the church. You are now in it. God did it for you because by His blood you received the forgiveness of sin, right? In whom we have the redemption, in whom His dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, we have the redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. All your sins have been forgiven by Christ because Jesus Christ was raised from the dead by God to show to the world that what my only begotten Son did when He came down from heaven to become one of you, took on flesh and blood. He lived a perfect life in obedience to all that God has commanded us to do. He did it for us. And then in order for us to have all our sins forgiven, someone must die in your place to pay the penalty for the sins that we have committed against God, which you and I can't pay. And so he took our place, and he was led as a lamb to the slaughter, quietly, silently. He allowed himself to be persecuted and to be crucified, and then he died in your place and in my place. Was it enough? Was it enough to take away your sins and my sins? Because your sins and my sins are innumerable, and they are heinous. The sins of the mind, the sins of the heart, the sins of the lips, the sins of the hands and the feet, every part of us have become members of transgression the moment we were born. So many sins we have committed against God, can't even count them. So much so that we should not use the word many, we should use the word much. Cannot be counted. Was it enough? Was what Jesus Christ did enough to take away your sins and my sins and the sins of the whole world all combined together? God said, it is enough. How do you know? How do we know? Because on the third day, God raised him from the dead. God defeated death for us in Christ. Because death was the result of sin. If Jesus Christ died and remained dead, then we have to confess and admit that what Jesus Christ did for us was not enough to satisfy the standard of God's holiness, that we all have transgressed against him. If Jesus Christ remained dead, then death has the victory. But thank God, on the third day after Christ died, God raised him from the dead to tell us it is enough. Enough to take away the sins of the whole world. And your sins in particular. If only you would believe. And that's what it means to be part of the church. The moment you truly accept the Christ and experience the forgiveness of sins in your heart, the sins that we committed against God that we cannot do anything to remove from our lives. There is nothing you and I could give God to make restitution. I sin against you. I can make restitution. This morning, I don't like you. I scratch your car. I'm angry. You caught me. You might even report me to the police. I go to jail. I make restitution. I will pay for the repair, and I will pay the damage for the many days that you were not able to use your car. I pay everything. I go to jail. I pay you for the repair, and I pay you for the loss of usage. Now we are good. I make restitution. So now you have no reason to be angry with me anymore. I paid you back in full, whatever it takes. But that's my sin against you. But my sin against God, what can I pay? Can I pay God with my house? All that I have, God said, I own this world. Everything that you have comes from my world. I made this world. But my life, can I give you my life? God says, your life is also mine. Without me creating you, you don't exist. So what do you want to give? Or but can I spend my life and do good works? God says, you can't. You are disqualified because you are born in sin. You are not born neutral. Because you are born in sin, your hands are already stained by sin. And everything that you touch are already stained by sin. And that's why God says, your good works are like filthy rags in my sight, God says. And so what can we do to remove the anger and the wrath of God against me for the many transgressions that I've committed against him? The sin of idolatry, the sin of fornication, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the careless words that come out of our mouth. All these many, many sins I've committed against God. What can I do, O Lord, to appease your anger against me? Someone has to take your place and be punished for it. Because of the justice and the holiness of God, God cannot just simply sweep sin under the carpet. Somebody must pay. Otherwise, you have to pay for your own sin. And which means if you die in your sin, you're going to end up in hell. You mean that is so serious? You mean my sin against God will require me to spend eternity in hell? That's it. Because we are talking about sinning against our Creator, the thrice holy God. We're not talking about sinning against another human being. We are sinning against the God who is holy, who made us into his image. And then we turn him into idols that we bow down and worship. That is a very serious transgression. We ignore his creation. We say that God does not exist. This world came along by the Big Bang. That is an insult to God. You are surrounded by man's creation, and you know man made all these things, the pulpit, the building, and so on. There is a designer behind all these design and construction. And God's creation is a million times more sophisticated and complicated than any of man's design. And yet you still cannot admit that there is a designer and you just want to ignore his existence. And then after that you say, God, you should not mind. I made you everything and you erase my existence. That is a serious transgression. Unless and until you find someone to take your place, you have to die and pay your own penalty for your sin against me. And God says, I have to help you. Because if I don't help you and find someone to die in your place, every human being born of human father, human mother will have to die in sin and end up in hell. But because of God's love and God's grace and God's mercy, even though we do not deserve His love, He sent His only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to become one of us. Born of flesh and blood, like you and me, from infancy to grow up to adulthood, just like us, but without sin. He lived and obeyed all of God's law, just for your sake and for my sake. And then He allowed Himself to be arrested, to be persecuted, even though at any time He could deliver Himself, but He did not, as the God-man. And then He was crucified, and then He died. It was His love for you and me that put Him to the cross, that kept Him on the cross until He died. This is God's love for you. Don't turn your back on God's love. Don't reject the Lord Jesus Christ. He died for you, and all you need is to believe. Take your hand out and reach forth in belief and cry to God, I accept what the Lord Jesus Christ did for me on the cross of Calvary. And the moment you fully, truly surrender your life, confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that the Lord Jesus Christ died for you, you will not be ashamed. You will not be disappointed. You will experience a redemption and a transformation and the forgiveness that is completely out of this world. And it is. It is from God. And you will be a person that will never be the same again, a transformed person. Your heart, your ambition, your life, your whole outlook toward life will be completely changed because now you have someone guiding you, controlling your life, and that is Christ. Because the moment you are born again, you are now given the mind of Christ so that you will have Jesus Christ as your head, leading you, guiding you. And so Jesus Christ, the head of the church, first, you have to know Him as Savior. Then, He will be your head to control you, to guide you, to help you. Otherwise, He's not your head. You do what you want. You do whatever is right in your own eyes. If this is still your state and your condition and your mindset, please go back to the beginning. Am I truly born again in Christ? If I'm truly born again in Christ, I should not be doing what I want. The Lord Jesus Christ should be controlling me, just like the body. The hands cannot just go one direction without the head saying so. Everything must now be controlled by the head. Your entire life, all your relationships. And it begins with salvation. And then verse 15 to verse 17. After salvation, the Lord knows that we will remain on earth to witness for Him. And this world, the Bible says, has a God who is the devil, and He has blinded the minds of those who do not believe in Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. But this God is a powerful enemy of all of God's children. And so after salvation, the Lord knows we are already suitable and fit for heaven, straight away, instantaneously. But He says, I want you to stay behind. I want you to be my witnesses. I want you to do what I used to do when I walk on earth, Jesus says. You be me. You will speak my words. Your hands will do my deeds. Your feet will be shod with the gospel of peace and go where I send you. Now, this is what I want you to do. But I want to reassure you that in this world, the devil may be the god of this world, but I am in total absolute control, including the devil. Whatever happens to you on earth cannot happen to you without my sovereign will and permission. And that's what verse 15 and verse 17 tells us. That not only is He the head of the church controlling your life, He is also the creator of the world. And nothing on this earth can exist without His permission and control. Look at verse 15. who is the image of the invisible God, that is still a reference to Christ, his Son. All right? In whom we have redemption, verse 14. In whom, who is the whom? That's Christ. Who? The relative pronoun, who? Christ. He is the image of the invisible God. That's why when Jesus was on earth, he said, those who have seen me have seen God. Now that is a very bold claim and statement. That means when you see Christ for who he is, it is the same as seeing God the Father. My Father and I are one. That's what Jesus said. And for that, they crucified him. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. In other words, before any creature, anything exists, Christ already existed. And that you see in Genesis. He is the creator, in other words. Before there was the sun, the moon, before there was even darkness or light, Christ already existed. He is the firstborn of every creature, everything that you can even imagine. He made all things. He transcends time. He made time. For by him were all things created that are in heaven, or angelic beings, everything, including heaven itself, and that are in earth, everything that is in this earth of ours, including the birds that fly in the atmosphere and the fish and the sea creatures in the ocean. Visible and invisible. That means the spiritual realm, the angelic realm. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Christ and for Christ. This is to reassure us that as I left you behind here to do my work, to be my witnesses, trust me, I am in sovereign total control. I will help you to be a successful, victorious witness for me. So please do what I tell you to do. I am the head of the body and the church. And I have placed you in the world where I am still in total absolute control. So therefore, Jesus Christ is not a localized God of the Christians only. This is a concept that you must grasp and understand and appreciate and experience in your life. Sometimes we may not say it in so many words, that Jesus Christ is only the God of the Christian. But by the way that we react and respond, it appears to be so. As if God cannot control your boss. You think your position in your office is in the hand of man, or is it in the hand of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? So who do you please? You please your human boss and displease Christ? Because you think that your promotion and your time in the office is in his hands, and therefore you have to do whatever he says, even if it means disobeying the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why the Lord tells us before he revealed to us that he is the head of the body, the church. He reassured us this with these three verses, 15, 16, and 17. That I place you in a world where I am in total absolute control. It never existed before. I created it. I existed first. Before everything that you see and hear and taste on this earth. Remember this, including the devil. Without God, the devil does not exist. The devil is only a creature. He is not God. He is not even equal or close to God. Please understand how great and how powerful the head of the church is. And he wants to reassure us who belong to the body and the church that as I place you here on earth, you must learn to trust me. So the first thing you understand concerning Christ as the head of the church is to be part of the church. He is your Lord and Savior. Then he will be your head to guide you, to control you, to help you, to provide for you, to take care of you as the head. And also know, the second thing, he is also the creator. He's not just the God of the Christians only, he's the God of the whole universe. And that means the whole world, the whole universe, every country is in his control. America, China, Russia, regardless, including the invisible spiritual realm, he is in control of the devil and everyone in it. That's how great our God is, the head of the church. Do you understand this? So don't be worried or afraid when you see chaos in your life. Can God control every bug, every virus, every bacteria, every cancer cell? Yes. Nothing can hurt you or harm you without his sovereign will and permission. By all means, you want to see a doctor? Go and see a doctor. But don't put your peace in your heart based upon what the doctor says. The peace in your heart, whether you are sick or healthy, live or die, is in the hand of your Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He must be the only peace and trust that is the anchor of your soul. Not any human being, not any government, not anyone else. You think the peace and prosperity that we enjoy in Singapore is because of our government? You better think again. It is because of Christ. It is because of God. He showed mercy to us so that we can use whatever resources that we have as a church in Singapore to promote God's kingdom, to defend His word, to earnestly contend for the faith once delivered unto the saints. He does not give us the peace. He did not give us the peace to enjoy life, to sit there and sip our lemonade. He is giving us peace in order for us to worship in peace, to be stronger in faith, to study God's word, to provoke one another unto love and good works through Christian fellowship, so that we can do more for Christ in these last days than ever before. And He could at any time take away the peace. Don't forget that. Let Jesus Christ, the head of the church, and now He revealed to us the creator of heaven and earth, where He has placed us in this world as the body of Christ, to be a holy witness, to give us this assurance that without me, nothing can exist. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. You see that? The word consist means sustain itself, keep itself going. The sun keeps shining because of Christ. Have you ever wondered? The sun is a very unique, special phenomena. Do you agree? See, everything that we burn must run out. See, I like to play with fire. You like to play with fire? You should not, huh? But I like. Because now I'm an old man, I can play with fire and control it. As a boy, my mom, you don't play with fire, huh? I like to play with fire. I like light. It's those, including the torchlight, including the light. For example, the kind of light that you use to light your stove. Of course, now you have all these buttons, this electricity kind of thing, right? But there are those that you have a gun, you know, you press the button and then the fire comes out. I like those, so I have a few at home. Long one, short one, colorful ones. And so sometimes, you know, I like to light it and then play with it. Small flame, big flame, you know, there's a little switch there. Let in more gas, whew, the flame go big. Let in a little bit of gas and then, whew, right? Fun, right? And then one day, I play too much, no more gas. Ran out. Gone. So I went to buy a tube to supply it back. So I tried to put in the gas. Cannot work, you know. So now, you see, that one gone. So now I don't play anymore because it all burned, all gone. I bought this to light candles for birthday cakes and all that. The fire can burn and burn and burn, and then once the well of gas or oil is exhausted, it dies. How come the sun keep on burning for so many centuries, never burn itself out? Is there a big hose at the back of the sun that we can't see that keeps on supplying some fuel or not? And it's burning at a temperature that is so hot that even though we may be millions of miles away, we can still feel the heat of the sun on earth, right? What is it that keeps the sun burning? What is it? Well, the Bible tells us Christ. Christ is the one. See, and by Him all things consist, all things remain in its state and condition. The position of the earth from the sun, who keeps it in its proper position, where it revolves at a particular speed and it never gains or loses speed? Is there a motor somewhere? And then there is this distance that have to be perfect, otherwise too far, we get so cold, we all cease to exist, or too close, we get burned up. Who keeps it at its perfect distance from the sun, whereby we can still breathe and survive and live? Christ, the head of the church. You know how reassuring it is to know that Jesus Christ is not just the God of the Christian, that He is the God of the whole universe? Even though we know that when we enter into the world, it is the territory of the God of the world. But behind Him, behind all these facades, I have my Lord and my Savior, Jesus Christ, who is in control of every minute of my life. And all He wants from me, all He desires from me is to obey, is to do His will. That's why He told us, pray without ceasing. You come to me and you ask me to direct your, guide you in where you ought to go, where you should do, what you should, which school you go to, which company to join. You pray and you ask me, I will show you. I will tell you. I will reveal it to you. Because I want to be by your side, helping you every step of the way as you witness for me. That's what the head of the church wants to reassure us, to let us know that He is not only the God of the Christian, but He is the God of this whole world that He wants us to witness in. You know how wonderful it is, and you can't see this and understand this if you are not born again. The first step. The first step to appreciate the head of the church in your life is to be born again. And then this assurance that He is the God of this whole world, the creator of heaven and earth, will be your peace, your assurance in your heart. That the world cannot understand, the world cannot give. That no matter what happens, my Heavenly Father, my Lord Jesus Christ is in control. That if He wants me to be in this company, in this job, nobody can remove me because Jesus Christ placed me here. And if there is anyone who could remove me, He has to be more powerful than Christ. And is there anyone who is more powerful than the Creator? No one. Because the Creator has to be the most powerful of all. Because if He doesn't create the devil doesn't exist. So how could the devil ever be more powerful than God? If the devil is not more powerful than God, and he is the most powerful of all the enemies of the Christian, then the Christian has nothing to be afraid of. Nothing to fear. Nothing. That's why when you don't read the Bible, you do not know your Savior, you will always be fearful and you will always walk around like a headless chicken, frightened all the time. Trust Him. And it is very difficult to trust someone who is a stranger to you. Know your Savior by studying the Bible, because the whole book reveals to you who Jesus Christ is from cover to cover. It's a wonderful book, and the more you know Him, the more you can trust Him. And I hope tonight is not the only time you ever heard that Jesus Christ, the head of the church, is the creator of heaven and earth. And without Him, the whole world cannot exist, cannot be what it is. The sun can stop shining without Christ, can stop shining with Christ's word. And Christ is the one that keeps it burning and shining. You know that. Everything that is on this earth, the rising of the sun, the setting of the sun, the birds that fly, the fish that swims, every creature is dependent upon the Lord Jesus Christ for it to be what it is. That's how great and marvelous the head of the church is. The question is He your head? Is He your head or not? Then if He's your head, then the third point must be your experience. He must have the preeminence. Preeminence means He must be first. What does it mean to have Christ first in my life? That means I will do whatever He says. That's what it means. How do you know what He says? The Bible. That's why we talk about the Bible. Is He preeminent? Because that is the final result. That's what you see in verse 18. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. The beginning, He is the founder of everyone who is born again. And He is the firstborn from the dead. He's the first one to be given the glorified body upon resurrection. The resurrection of Lazarus is the same body that will die again. The resurrection that you read of in the Old Testament in the time of Elijah, Elisha, they all were resurrected, but they were given back the same mortal body and they all will die again. Jesus Christ is the firstborn from the dead, referring to His glorified body, which He shown to the disciples 40 days after His resurrection and 40 days before His ascension. During this period of time, He revealed Himself in the glorified body to more than 500 of His disciples to strengthen their faith, in order to start the new church witness. He is the firstborn. That means one day we will all be glorified. He is the beginning. He's the firstborn, and we all will follow in His footsteps, that in all things He might have the preeminence. That means right now, He must be number one in your life, because He is number one in creation. He is number one in everything else. The question is He number one in your life? Are you doing what Jesus wants in your life? If He is not doing what the Bible says in your life, then you are not part of the body. You are not part of the invisible church. Because if you are the Spirit of God who dwells in you and with the mind of Christ, you will want to, you desire to. The Lord Jesus Christ, through the power and the leading and the filling of the Spirit of God, will compel you to. You can't help yourself. But to have Jesus Christ as the head, whereby you will surrender your life to Him, whereby before salvation, you have your own plans and ambitions for your future, but after salvation, you will sit down quietly, and then you will say to the Lord in all sincerity and humility, "What do you want me to do with my life, O God?" That's what you will do. All your ambitions will now be set aside, and then you just simply trust in the Lord. "Lord, this life is no longer my own to live whatever I want. Tell me, place in my heart, show me what you want me to do with my life." That's what it means when Jesus Christ is the head of the body, the church. And if you are born again, you are now part of this invisible body, invisible church, this body which is made up of only truly born again believers. And you will understand what Jesus is saying, because you experience it day in, day out of your life. Every morning you wake up, you know that the Lord is guiding you, leading you, controlling you, and you have the peace in your heart because you begin the day with His voice, because you read the Scriptures. You can't bear not to hear His voice throughout the day because you love Him with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. You really love someone, you can't bear not to hear that person's voice. When you can go through the day without hearing the voice of someone you love very, very much, and you don't even feel anything missing in your life, there is something wrong with your love. When you love someone, that person is never out of your mind. Why do you think the Bible gives us the commandment to children to honor father and mother? There is no need to command parents to love children, because parents will never forget their children. No matter how old their children become, you can ask any parent, and you can ask any grandparent whose children are already grown up and they are already parents themselves. You ask the grandparent, "Will you ever, 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 at any time in your life, forget your children?" Never. No matter how old they grow up, no matter where they go, no matter which part of the world they travel to, the parents will always remember their children and pray for them, and they will always care for them in one way or another, even though they are independent. That is the parent's heart. But children, not like that. That's why God has to give us a commandment. Honor your father and your mother. Regardless of who they are, how they behave, you honor them. That means you do not talk bad about them. Usually children don't remember parents. Out of sight, out of mind. They are so caught up and busy with building their own lives and their careers and all these things, they forget parents. But when they love their parents with all their heart, they also will never forget them. They will think about their parents, they will pray for their parents, they will care for their parents. They will look after their parents, and the parents cannot look after themselves. And they will do it happily, cheerfully, lovingly. How is the Lord Jesus Christ to you? Is He truly the head in your life, having the preeminence, where the Word of God controls every part of your life? That's what it means by having the preeminence. It's not just a theory, something that is in theory up in the air only, has no practical value. If Jesus Christ is the head of your life, that means the Bible is your guidebook for life. The Bible rules your home. Your relationship is according to the Bible. At home, between husband and wife, between parent and children, between children and parents, even though parents are non-Christians, the Bible will dictate and control your feelings, your emotions, your thinking. That's what it means in practical sense when Jesus Christ is the head. And therefore, you will always have a thirst and hunger for God's Word, because the more you study the Bible, the more Jesus Christ will have preeminence over your life. Every relationship will be under His tutelage, His control, His guidance. You will know how to relate to your possessions. You will know how to relate to your future possessions that you seek after. Now you will no longer seek after them. You trust God to give you what He knows is best for you. From now onwards, Jesus says, you seek God's kingdom first and His righteousness, and trust God to provide for you what He knows you need. Because He knows the strength and measure of your faith, and He will provide for you sufficient so that your faith will not be hurt and ruined in the process. But if you are greedy, you disobey Him, you go your own way, and you lust after the things of the world, you're going to get what you want, but it's going to collapse and ruin and destroy your faith and your witness for Christ. and you will begin to backslide. And then Jesus Christ at that point in your life is no longer your head. You do your own thing. You do your own way. And if you are truly born again and he loves you, he will chastise you and stop you and bring you back. That's his promise. That's what the head means. When you stray away, he brings you back. He guides you. He helps you. So do you have Jesus Christ as your head? Now the question that we asked at the start was, who controls your life? Is it you or Christ? That is the Bible. Do you read the Bible? Do you understand the Bible? What the Bible teaches and say, does it matter to you whether you obey or disobey it? Because that's how you know whether Jesus Christ is your head. Because everyone who is truly born again in Christ, he is automatically part of this invisible church, the body of Christ, where Christ is the head. And then he reassures us, do you have this assurance that this Christ, who is the head of the church and the body, controls this world? And in your life, he must control. Personally, intimately, every step of the way. You don't have to be afraid. He helps you. He will guide you because he has already saved you. The head of the church is a wonderful, comforting, reassuring doctrine that you don't have to walk in darkness or to walk alone anymore. You have the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the head, who will direct your life from childhood to adulthood all the way to the grave or until the Lord Jesus Christ returns. Is Jesus Christ the head of your life? Let us pray. Our merciful, loving Heavenly Father, we thank and praise Thee for Thy mercies and Thy goodness toward us. For in Your patience and Your long-suffering, You've allowed all of us to remain on earth. For those who are truly born again in Christ, thank Thee, Lord, that You are our head and You have given to us the Word of God to teach us, to guide us, to help us to know what to do with our lives. Every member of this body that You have given to us, may we use it for Thy glory and for the blessing of others to promote the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We do not need to walk and live aimlessly, but we have the Lord Jesus Christ as our head to guide us every step of the way, every phase of our lives, in all relationship, and we give Thee thanks. We pray, Father, for some in our midst who may be in ignorance and who may truly be born again. May Thou open this believer's eyes to see and to understand how the Lord Jesus Christ must control his life, that he will read God's word daily, and with understanding, he will begin to experience the joy of salvation where the Lord Jesus Christ will lead and guide him from henceforth. We pray, Father, for some in our midst who may still be outside Christ, where they still do whatever their own hearts desire instead of what the Lord desires. May Thou be merciful to bring conviction and cause this person, O Lord, to realize and understand that he is living a life that is in darkness and he does not know how he is wasting his life without Christ. O Lord, bring much conviction to such a one and cause this person to humble himself and to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and as Savior in order for this person to experience the forgiveness of sin in Christ Jesus, so that this person doesn't need to walk in darkness aimlessly, but the Lord Jesus Christ can be his head to guide him, to help him, that he will live from henceforth a life that is rich, a life that is full, a life that is abundant in all things eternal and all things spiritual. This is our heart's cry, O Lord, for everyone in this sanctuary this evening. May Thou hear us for Jesus' sake. In Jesus' most precious and holy name, we give thanks and pray. Amen.